The film Evolution of a Criminal re-examines in a strikingly candid fashion an event from Darius Clark Monroe's own teenage years, his participation in a 1997 Texas bank robbery, and his subsequent incarceration. The film includes a variety of interviews with Monroe's family members, teachers, and a law enforcement officials. He also talks to the two men who robbed the bank with him and stages a reenactment of the crime. Darius Clark Monroe is an award-winning film director, producer, and screenwriter. He'll be providing commentary and answer questions immediately following a screening of Evolution of a Criminal this Friday at Page Hall on the University at Albany's downtown campus. The event is sponsored by the New York State Writers Institute in conjunction with the School of Criminal Justice's Crime, Justice, and Social Structure film series, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Darius Clark Monroe to the roundtable this morning. Darius, thank you very much for being with us. Nice to have you on the program.
Yes, I'm here. Thank you.
At what point following your release did you decide that you wanted to make a film and examine this in a cinematic sense?
Many years after my release, I really had no intention of ever revisiting the story. So I thought after I was released from prison, but then while I was in the graduate program at NYU, a strange situation happened one day where I was actually standing inside of a Bank of America in Manhattan and just, you know, waiting to deposit, a student check, a refund check or something. And for whatever reason, I was staring outside the window, and I thought this guy who was pacing back and forth in front of the window just looked really sketchy and suspicious. And for some reason, my body just went into full panic attack mode, and I had just a huge anxiety attack, and I thought that this man was going to come in and rob the bank. And it had been a thought that had always crossed my mind since I was involved in this robbery at 16. I just felt that I was going to one day be a part of a robbery, but just as a victim. And luckily that didn't happen that day, but when I left the bank, I could not shake the anxiety. And I just also just remembered the fact that I always wanted, not as a film, but just as a human, to go back and apologize to the people who had been customers the day of the robbery. And so it just started as a normal conversation with a couple close friends who I was in film school with, about just possibly going back down there and doing an apology. Again, this was not even, I was not even thinking about a larger film or discussion or documentary. But then after speaking with my mom, I realized that her and so many others in my family had yet to really just go through all the just emotional stages of just how this event came about. How did I get sucked into the criminal justice system at 16?
Yeah.
And just how did this happen in the first place? And, I needed a thesis film. It was time to do a thesis film. I thought this would be a one-year process, but it took me seven more years to complete. So it sort of was an organic process, how it came about.
Did you feel the anxiety, or is this? I don't know if you're able to even tap into it at this point, but did you, at the moment of that criminal act of robbing the bank, did you feel the anxiety of the people who were in the bank?
Yeah, you know, especially, well, you know, I couldn't, yes, absolutely. I think we were in the bank for maybe a minute, 15 seconds. And, you know, just like in the film, you know, we tried to, you know, we ran out of the car, ran back inside the car, and then we got out of the car again. But once, you know, we came through the door, there's a woman who, she chose not to be in the actual film, but in real life, there was a woman who was actually right by the front entrance of the bank. And she was around, I guess, the same age as my mother. And she was filling out a deposit slip. And as soon as we came through the door, I remember her just crouching up under the counter. And the expression on her face was just horror. And I just sort of like closed my eyes and just beelined to the back of the bank, because I knew that we were there to just get this money out of the safe. We had cased the bank a few times, and so I knew we weren't there to harm anybody. But her and just, yeah, the fact that they were just, you know, even the teller, the branch manager, just the faces of these people, I don't recall too many screams, but just to just see their face and the terror on their faces just will be forever etched into my memory. And so it was something that I felt like I needed to process as well. Even though I had gone to prison and had gotten out of prison, I felt like that, again, on a human level, was something that needed to be dealt with and it hadn't really been handled.
And, of course, you're 16 years old. I'm assuming you're feeling the terror as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
At what point, how long from leaving the bank, how long to after you were arrested?
We were arrested, I want to say, almost 4 weeks later.
Okay. And as you, I mean, you look at this in the film, but a fairly hellish 4 weeks, right?
Oh, yes. I mean, you know, I did some research years later, but, you know, most bank robbers, they try to find, you know, pretty shortly after the event. 4 weeks felt like an eternity.
Yeah.
For me as a 16-year-old. And it's not a situation where, you know, part of me is like, okay, you know, are they going to come and find this out? But because of what was happening at school in terms of just the rumors spreading around and more folks finding out about the event, my level of anxiety and paranoia was just through the roof. And it permeated throughout the house. So it wasn't just my anxiety, but my parents, everyone could feel just this sense of oncoming terror, but we didn't know when the arrest was going to happen. It's not like, you know, I was going to go to the police station and turn myself in. So I didn't know if it was ever going to happen and when it was going to happen. But it was a hellish 4 weeks.
When you tell your story and you do it cinematically, what do you hope people get out of it? What is it that you hope that people take from this chapter of your life, especially in the reenactment and looking at the before and the after of your time in prison?
Yeah, I mean, one, I always hope that if people are going to, you know, give me the respect of giving me their lifetime of coming to the theater and giving me their time, I'm going to not only give you something that is hopefully entertaining, but something that is transformative. And so, especially when it came to retelling my own story, I knew that I wanted to not just regurgitate what happened, but sort of recreate, especially in the reenactments, a thriller and sometimes a dream-like experience where the audience is literally in the shoes of these young men. You know, just in terms of just the overall question you just asked about, you know, what would I want the audience to come away, you know, step away from watching the film? To me, you know, in this country, even on the global standpoint, but especially in this country, just how black men, especially young black men, are treated in the media, you are literally from a very, very young age almost just characterized as a threat, as some type of criminal, as some type of danger. And especially when we see over and over again in Houston, I see it here living in New York City, on the news, you just see so many people being arrested, put in the back of a car, a sentence, and you really have very little context for what happened, how that came to be. And so I wanted, instead of focusing on a macro level, to go really, really specific and just focus on the real people who were directly impacted by this event. So you could see that my behavior wasn't just, you know, of course, I definitely believe in personal responsibility, because I knew better, I was young enough to know better. But I wanted to also show what systemic incarceration looks like. But I come from a family that has been touched, that so many people in this family have been touched by the criminal justice system. I think that's normal. I wanted to focus on systemic poverty and not just people who were sitting inside of a home collecting a check, but generations of people who got up every day and toiled every day in the hot sun in Texas and Louisiana and worked their whole lives and still could not get from up under just the big boot of harsh capitalism and racism. And then all of these elements are not separate from the things that influenced me to do this crime. They're all very, you know, very specific, and I don't try to beat people over the head in the film. But I wanted you to see that this is some, this is a person who came from a family, who came from love, who had no intention of ever being in a maximum security prison at 17, and yet still found his way there, just like his father was there, his uncles, his cousins, even aunts in my case. And so, you know, also I'm hoping that people can empathize, but also understand that, you know, as human beings, we are complex. We have many layers. And one thing that's beautiful about this human experience is the resiliency that you can actually find yourself down and out in your luck, and you can get back up again. And you can do something with your life if given the opportunity, if people decide to forgive and allow you a chance to grow and evolve. And so all of those things are what I hope people take away from the experience of watching the film.
So we call our prisons correctional facilities. And in your case, I mean, you're in a maximum security prison. So is there anything correctional about that? And the reason I ask is because, I mean, you do come out and you turn your life around. So how much of that is you, and does the system have anything to do with that?
Yes, it's a combination of both, to be honest. And I would say that a lot of times when people look at what happened to me after my incarceration, I try to get them to focus on the fact that before my incarceration, I had some incredible teachers my whole life. And I came from a strong family unit, so that helped. When you go into prison, there's really, especially in maximum security prison like Ferguson Unit, there's really no one telling you, well, you need to take classes, you need to get a GED, you need to go to college, take a trade. Those things were available. They are available, but it's up to you to do it. And I just knew that I was not going to spend my time, and I was fortunate that I was only given 5 years. But I knew that I didn't want to spend my time just working in the fields, working in, you know, in the kitchen, that I wanted to make use of my time. And when I found out that they had a prison, a youth offender program for the college, Lee College, on the unit I was at, where they had a special Pell Grant for individuals who were under 21 years of age, who had less than 5 years to go home. And if they took the standardized test that was given to all college applicants in Texas and were able to pass it and get enrollment, the government would help you pay for these college classes, because they felt that if you received a college education while incarcerated, that the chance of recidivism would just drop astronomically. And it's true. It's true. I was in that program for almost 2 years, and I've almost, I think by the time I was released from prison, I was a junior in college. So I spent a significant amount of my time incarcerated, but going to school. And that was a huge help. And that was through people who are regular civilians who work in prisons, who believe that, you know, these men and women deserve an opportunity, that they shouldn't be left behind, that these people have, you know, they have goals and dreams and wishes. So it was a combination of having that help and then having the family support once I was released.
Darius Clark Monroe is an award-winning film director, producer, and screenwriter. He'll be providing commentary and answer questions immediately following the screening of his film, Evolution of a Criminal. It happens this Friday at 7 o'clock in Page Hall on the University at Albany's downtown campus. You can go to the New York State Writers Institute online for more information, or on our website at wamc.org. Darius Clark Monroe, a great pleasure having you on the program this morning, and we look forward to having you in town on Friday.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Great pleasure. Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.